From the public and would like to see them, they'll be available at the town clerk's office. Everybody get a chance to look over them?
Mm-hmm.
Basically what this is doing is making every line that was in the negative hole for our annual financial report that should be submitted by the end of this week or next week. Motion to approve the budget transfers as suggested by our budget officer.
Make a motion.
Motion by Brian, second by Jared, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Resolution 12. The highway super, so this would be resolution number 13. The highway superintendent wishes to declare miscellaneous equipment, John Deere rotor tiller, John Deere Gator, John Deere zero turn mower, a DR Leaf lawn vac, a Toro little tow behind trailer, an edger, two snow blowers, a pressure washer, push mower, and a snapper ride mower as surplus equipment.
Make a motion.
Motion by JR, second by Brian, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Go. It's part of, I skipped over. Resolution number 12. It's a resolution to encumber $10,000. This was all grant money we received last year for the summer rec program. We're looking to encumber that for the fiscal year 2025 summer rec program.
Make a motion.
Motion by JR, second by Dawn, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Resolution number 14, whereas Barb Erzik was a summer recreation director for in 2024 and she wishes to remain the summer recreation director for 2025. Therefore, we the Catskill Town Board thereby approve hiring Barb Erzik as summer recreation director for 2025 at an hourly rate of $27. Motion by Brian, second by JR, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Resolution 15, whereas Supervisor McCullough wishes to appoint Kirsten Bulich as budget officer for the year 2025. Therefore, we the Catskill Town Board hereby approve the appointment of Kirsten Bulich as the budget officer for the year of 2025 at a stipend of $5,000.
Motion.
Motion by Jared, second by Dawn. You guys really need to switch.
I'm looking at my seat.
Resolution number 16. We have a couple recommendations from George June, who is our ambulance administrator for the town of Catskill, wishes to hire Logan Hoff as a permanent part-time EMT at a rate of $21.55 per hour, effective March 9th, 2025. Motion?
Motion.
Motion by JR, second by Dawn, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. We received correspondence from Cornell University, Greene County Resolutions number 25, approving recommendations for including land into AG District 124 and declaring a negative deck secret declaration. We received a dog control inspection report. JR, you want to touch on that at all?
The dog control?
Yeah.
So everything is up to compliance at this time with dog control. John's doing an excellent job keeping track of all the documentation that's needed, and been getting a lot of good compliments in the community from his response to call outs and things like that. So.
Okay, thank you. We received communications from CHPE notice of petition to amend certification of environmental capability and public need for CHPE. We received an email from Hamad Darman regarding code enforcement. I emailed this gentleman and left him two voicemails, waiting for his call back. Continuing business, our annual justice audit was done. The findings, anybody have any questions on those? Everything seems satisfactory. Some, there's some little discrepancies that are easy enough to fix.
Mm-hmm.
We have a quote from HD Penn for a water pump repair. This is for the generator at the ambulance building in the amount of $4,716.38. Jared, you want to touch on this?
So currently the generator is not operational. It basically, the circulating system went to crap and the water pump blew out. So in order to fix the generator and get it back up and running, we need to do these repairs.
Okay. Have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Jared. Second?
Second.
Second by JR. All in favor?
Aye. Motion. This will come out of building maintenance. Yep.
Motion carried.
How much is a new generator?
50. It's a high cost one. And there was no signs of it. It's just routine maintenance. That part failed.
The receiver of taxes is asking for an audit this year. The audit cost $5,000. We did not budget it for 2025. So I asked Sam if this was required. He said no. So my recommendation is, since it's not budgeted for, that we don't do it this year.
We budget.
But, right, we for 26 and on, we budget it every year. This way we do a yearly audit.
Sounds good to me.
Everybody okay with that?
Yep.
Very good with that.
Ricky Kramer, I'd like to send letters to HOKA, Fort Knightley, Athens Gen, any other organization.
Teachers Association,
for donations to help with the Ricky Kramer Field. We're looking to make improvements to the dugouts, the snack bar, the bathrooms. This past winter, the town invested probably $400,000 between the scoreboard and the pickleball court.
Scoreboard, pickleball court, and some other benches and stuff that we've done. There.
So I'd like to solicit these outside organizations for help with that. I'd like to purchase some dirt for the ball field, and it's about $3,200 from Northern Nurseries. This is the same company that the previous caretakers bought the dirt from for the infield. And that's 20 tons of dirt delivered.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Jared.
Second.
Second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Summer Rec kickoff. So Jared, Barberzik, and I had a meeting last week regarding Summer Rec. The dates for Summer Rec this year are July 7th to July 31st at the Catskill Elementary School. And then it's August 4th. Through the 14th at the Catskill Community Life Church. The hours are going to be 8:30 to 1, Monday through Thursday. We're looking at doing some joint field trips, possibly joint transportation with the school district to help get some of our kids that live in Sumeton, Kiskatom, and Palinville a way to get to Summer Rec.
I think getting home is even bigger deal than getting there, because the 8:30 should help a lot of parents and drop off prior to work.
Yep. So I'd also like to send donation letters to the, what was it, community center, community center,
Mid-Hudson Cable,
a couple private individuals gave us money. We'll do some field trips. But the planning for that is underway. We're going to have two open houses. One's going to be May 8th. One's going to be May 9th. Both are going to run from 7 to 8:30. One will be at the Palinville Firehouse, one will be at the Community Life Church. We're going to send applications out the last week of April. Registration will be the first part of May. And I look forward to submitting the DOH application at the end of May. Any questions on Summer Rec? Well, the ideas that are throwing around and working with the school on some of these things, I think it's going to be a very exciting summer for the kids.
Yeah, we're hoping to get 100 kids this year.
Yeah. Game Farm culvert replacement. There's not much of an update yet. I know there's a firm, they're not here, they're looking to film a movie on Game Farm between Castle and Polyrock. We don't have an exact start date for Game Farm yet. We're hoping sometime this spring, summer. Any questions on that? No? Okay. Victoria? Not here. So we have a contract from Barton with Judas. This is landfill monitoring for the old quarter scale landfill. It's a 3-year contract for $11,930 per year. This is required monitoring by DOH and DEC. B&L have been doing the monitoring since the landfill is closed. So I'm asking the board's permission to sign the contract with them.
Motion to allow the supervisor to sign the contract for landfill maintenance.
Second.
Motion by Jared, second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Next up, EAP, Employee Assistance Program. This is something that it's a program offered to employees if they have any kind of issues. Every municipality and employer is required to provide this. The price for fiscal year 2025 is $1,015.
It's a program I really believe is utilized and helpful to our employees, especially in the first responder side of things, mm-hmm. where they see some of the horrible things they see.
Yep.
So I make a motion that we do that.
Motion by Jared, second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Spring Rush presentation.
Good evening, and thank you for letting us speak tonight. My name is Ron Clinton. We are students from the Catskill High School Business Club, and we are here to present our 17th annual Catskill High School Spring Rush Triathlon Sprint 5K, taking place on May 31st, 2025. This event is entirely student-run. We are excited to continue this long-standing tradition that brings together athletes, family, and the community. We appreciate your time and support as we share our plans with you tonight, and we appreciate the continuous support over the years.
My name is Colin Shook. The Spring Rush Triathlon consists of a 5K run, a 15K bike ride, and a kayak race on the Catskill Creek. We also offer the Sprint 5K, which features just the run portion for those who prefer a shorter event. Both races start and finish at Catskill Middle School, creating a fun and inclusive atmosphere for all participants. This year's event is especially meaningful as we are dedicating it to Mrs. Schindler, a beloved Catskill teacher who lost her battle with breast cancer. In her memory, a portion of our proceeds will be donated to the Greene County Women's League to support local families affected by cancer. Participants will be racing for a reason in her honor. As part of this year's Catskill Spring Rush and 5K, we're raffling off an electric bike provided by Catskill Bike Supply. Tickets are $10 each or $5 for $40, with proceeds supporting the Greene County Women's League and our annual New York City business trip. This trip gives students the chance to visit News Corp, meet Fox President Neil Cavuto, tour the production facility, and explore an international bank. A great experience for us students. The raffle winner will be drawn on race day, so don't miss your chance to win while supporting these great causes.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Preston Cruz. The Spring Rush is more than just a race. It's a community event. We rely on local businesses and organizations to help make it a success. We've reached out to sponsors and offering different sponsorship levels, with opportunities for businesses to have their name on race shirts, banners, and promotional materials. Additionally, businesses can contribute promotional items to be distributed to participants. We've already sent out sponsorship information via email and follow up in person. If any board members or businesses you know would like to get involved, we'd love to connect and discuss opportunities.
Safety is our top priority. Our race course will be monitored by student volunteers, teachers, staff, and community members, along with police, fire, EMS, and public works personnel who will ensure a safe and well-organized event. A safety planning meeting will be held on Wednesday, May 28th at 2:30 p.m. in the CHS library, where all involved agencies are invited to review final details. We appreciate the support of our local officials and first responders in making sure the event runs smoothly. We're asking for the village's support in a few ways. Approval to use town and village streets and public spaces for race day, coordination with local police and public works for safety and logistics, and help spreading the word about the event to encourage participation and sponsorship. We hope you will join us on race day, either as a participant, volunteer, or supporter. Thank you for your time, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well done.
Thank you. Yes, well done. Thank you. I'm excited for it.
You going to race Pat?
I'll race him.
I wish I could.
Oh my gosh, I feel like it's been so much longer than 17 years.
Well, we missed a few, so we didn't count them because of the, and we weren't allowed to come. So I think we missed 2 or 3 years.
Three. Well, this is, if we didn't miss it, it would be our 20th annual.
Yeah. Okay. So the climate has changed a little bit with races, and so we're making this, the students have developed the whole branding, the pitch, they're architects of the entire marketing plan, and the donation as well. So we're proud of them for doing it. And we always review the event to see if it's relevant, and the students pitched it this year, so I thought it was, so we're excited to do it again. Thank you for the years of support.
Yeah. It's a good community event. You absolutely, you have the town support behind this. Our clerk can put something on the website advertising it for us. Obviously, you'll have highway support there that day. The ambulance will be there to support. The fire departments will be there to support you. We'll be there to support you. It's a great community event. I applaud you for continuing this. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Good job.
And thanks
good
for
job.
Coming to the meeting, because usually these chairs are
empty.
Great job, Tim.
Right. Thank you. Okay, next up, PACO Free Action.
Thank you. I have some resources to spread around. And is 10 minutes time frame too long? Or?
No, you're fine.
Okay. Thank you. And I can talk about what these are.
I think we have a digital copy, too.
Yeah, we do have a digital
Thank you.
It's almost your bedtime. Supervisor McCulloch and Town Board, thank you so much for having me today. My name is Jen Riley Luma, and I am the program coordinator for the Tobacco Free Program in Columbia and Greene counties. And I'm grateful to be here today. I originally reached out to Supervisor McCulloch because I'm a new face in the program, and for years our lead program director, Karen DePeister, has worked ardently to be a community health resource to municipalities and to town leaders on tobacco issues. And I'm also here to update you on a few of the happenings and progress that we're making in the Twin Counties with the Jewel Settlement, as we're having a meeting tomorrow night with the county legislature to discuss with the health committee. But I thought it might be a good opportunity to introduce myself as a continued resource that's available to support you in some of the economic and public beautification aspects of public park spaces. And I was excited to hear about the tremendous investments you're making in Ricky Kringer Field. That's wonderful news. As you know, separate policies that we've worked on with the town have included in the village of Catskill, the designated areas, no smoking except in designated areas in Dutchman's Landing. That was from 2013 and updated in 2021 to include no vaping in cannabis. Some of the other most recent work we've done with the village of Catskill has been a tobacco-free policy at the Paws on the Point Dog Park in 2023, which we provided new, really large signage for that you can see driving by at the point, funded through the New York State Department of Health. And her little white puppy was a great poster child for our Facebook post, and that was through a collaboration with trustee Jamie Heyer Mitchell, so grateful for that as well. If you'd like me to share a little bit about the program, I can, or we can just discuss the benefits of tobacco-free parks, but it's up to you with time. If you're not familiar with tobacco-free action communities in Columbia and Green, we are one of 21 community partnerships across the state that's dedicated to making communities a healthy place to live, work, and play, which has been our motto since year 2000. So this is the 25th anniversary of our program, funded through the New York State Department of Health grants under the Bureau of Tobacco Control. So our goal has really been to educate the community and engage and mobilize parents, youth, and elected leaders to work across several our initiatives, which include youth marketing, and especially with the JUUL issues we've seen and the settlement that's arisen from vaping, we aim to be an education and resource to you. Smoke-free housing has been another one of our initiatives, tobacco-free workplaces, and then also the tobacco-free outdoors initiative, which is why I'm here today. A little bit about TFO. Our initiative started with parks because we have put youth at the priority of the community, and because research shows youth model what they see, and the average age of initiation of smoking is the age of 13. We used to just only have a parks and playgrounds policy, and now that both counties have updated their parks to mostly go 100% tobacco-free, many have been, across the last few years, updating their park policies to include vaping, now that that's become a focus of our initiative. So today I'm here to just educate and share about the benefits of tobacco-free municipal building entry raising grounds, which you know became a countywide policy in Greene County in 2015. And I want to commend you and thank you for your support, because you've really taken the highest step you can take by creating a countywide policy. And I think as a town, really the next step that you could take is just to update the policies on vaping. And I think one of those benefits is to set a precedent for healthy behavior at the town level. One of the concerns for regulating tobacco products at the town level is that you don't have to rely on larger laws to do that. And I think the products that we're seeing in parks a lot of times, as far as youth initiation, is a concern of vaping, because nicotine levels are about 5 times as higher as they are in a normal average cigarette. So youth becoming addicted is one of the benefits of updating tobacco-free parks to include vaping. Another way to, economically speaking, find benefits in adding vaping to your policy is because, as you know, our counties don't have infrastructure for properly and safely displaying the vapes. So unfortunately, they become, along with cigarette butts, one of the most littered objects in the world. That is putting a great burden, in which the brunt falls to communities and schools in terms of litter, because vapes contain actually, I learned this in my work, 3 types of toxic waste. So there's the plastic, and there are lithium batteries, and then the nicotine is a form of toxic waste in the e-liquid. So communities are really, I think, bearing the brunt of the cost of disposal, whether it's park and rec employees or schools, especially paying some of those recycling fines in disposal. And then county trucks sometimes run over them, and they can cause explosions and are often the cause of fires. So again, thinking about the ugly factor of waste in your parks, you've done a lot to beautify your park areas, especially at Ricky Kramer, and the kids and pets that can get caught up in the litter of vaping and cigarette butts can make people pretty sick and also perhaps cause liabilities to you. So a couple of the examples of handouts that I have for you have samples of signs, and they show the work we've done with businesses in addition to other towns, and that would be of no cost to you. We have lovely decals, which we can also, if you'd like, affix to some of your signs, but even though our handout there is kind of geared towards businesses, I think it's a good example of what we can provide in terms of to local businesses and in the community for displaying a public precedent for health. So those are a couple of the handouts that I provided for you. And if you have questions, I can do my best to answer them, or we can just give a little update on what we're doing with mutual settlement coalition.
You can give an update on the drill setting, but I, for one, would like
to... We're going to want some sites.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I was going to go there. I want to thank you for the partnership that you've had with the town since 2013. When you told me that a couple of weeks ago, I can't believe it's been
that long
that we've been doing this.
And I haven't been in the program that long, so it's a good way for us to both to get to know each other's work. Yep. Thank you.
And we'd absolutely welcome your help updating our policies and signs.
Great, thank you so much, Supervisor McCullough. So as you know, maybe you shared with the rest of the town board, I emailed you a copy of our New York State's model policy ordinance, which is just a template you can adapt to your needs, and you can delineate different distances, Andrea, that work best for you. Of course, I don't know if you want designated areas, but that is something that our partners through Public Health Law Center provide, and they have vetted. So that's something you can adapt to your own as an addendum or perhaps in the language of the town policies. And great, I can give... So the second packet there is an example of the proposal that we've been sharing with departments of health. Again, we're here as a resource. We're not using in our local program the funds from the Juul settlement. But as you know, in 2024, last year, Letitia James was responsible for bringing about a settlement in New York State for Juul, the e-cigarette company. And what we've been doing with a couple of our community organizations and both health boards has been meeting since about August, bi-monthly or around there. We've met three times, and we have put together a proposal of ways we can, you know, create really the best multi-pronged approach, I think, for our communities and working together around how to use these funds, and Greene County is receiving almost $300,000 over the course of 3 years in funds to go into especially youth education on the issue of vaping as a public health addiction and issue. And so some of the things that we're doing is meeting with both counties. The funds have been requested currently at the Departments of Health, but have not yet arrived. But we're really trying to brainstorm strategies to take action steps that can kind of be more than a one-and-done approach. So some of the examples that we're doing to take a multi-pronged approach are working across the retail environment. In our program, one of our initiatives is to encourage towns to be aware of the number of tobacco retailers, especially in proximity to schools. So one of our program's area of work is to publish a report and do observations along with the Department of Health about the density and proximity of tobacco retailers to schools. That is something that actually a county official, Matt Levera, was interested in being a part of since he's a fourth grade teacher in Catskill. So policy change. Another example of what we're trying to, combine efforts and funds in doing is providing more education to schools through in-classroom curriculum that would be free. So there's a program called Catch My Breath, which is something that is appropriate to New York State curriculum requirements, and that is something that we would hopefully hire an educator for that would be separate from any one particular organization. So we could have a vaping educator come alongside and help in the schools. BOCES is also receiving these funds. There is wide interest in youth targeted messaging. So we already, as a program, do paid radio ads, and a lot of the New York State quit line messages you might see on TV are also funded by the Department of Health. So you might see a couple of those smoking, they're kind of really vivid graphic smoking commercials that you might see currently on TV or radio, especially menthol has been a popular one we've done. But that's something that we're hoping to kind of localize. And the next steps would really be kind of making sure that everyone interested in working on these strategies together is able to kind of double down in the area as far as education on vaping. So we are at the level of strategizing, and hopefully in the first year we would receive the funds from New York State. But if that's something that you would like to be a part of, it's a small coalition of about 12 of us, and if you'd like to receive updates, we can certainly pass those on to you, or if you know of any, especially partner organizations or schools that would be interested in finding out more information, we want to make sure that we can reach as many youth as possible. So that's my update.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, next up we have a proposed local law of 1 of 2025, moratorium on monopoles. So this came about because there's an applicant in front of the planning board right now that is looking to put up a Verizon cell phone tower, and we have nothing in our current zoning that addresses these. So we will need to set up a public hearing. For the 19th at 6:30 to go over the local law. I'll read the intent. So the town board recognizes that wireless communication facilities, or cell towers, offer benefits for wireless communication, and as such, the development of wireless telecommunication facilities continue to grow. However, the installation of large-scale wireless telecommunication facilities, equipment, and accessories have adverse impacts on neighboring lands, while the zoning law of the town of Catskill, Chapter 160 of the town's code, currently does not provide any standards for or regulation of these facilities. Therefore, this moratorium is necessary in order to temporarily restrict the development of wireless telecommunication facilities so that the town board may consider an act of land use regulations to encourage appropriate development of wireless telecommunication facilities that is consistent with the town's land use development, zoning objectives, and comprehensive plan. The town board has determined that enactment of this temporary moratorium would best enhance and protect the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the town of Catskill. This moratorium is not intended to prohibit or have the effect of prohibiting the provision of personal wireless cell phone service, and shall not be used to unreasonably discriminate among providers of functionally equivalent services consistent with current federal regulations. Anybody have any questions? I know we're going to have a public hearing on it, but this is new. We got this information a couple days ago.
I think it's a smart move to allow planning and zoning everyone to get
The current applicant that's in front of the planning board will continue their, they'll be able to continue their process all the way up through SEAKER, which in time we should have a good idea of what the new law is going to look like. So it's not going to, it shouldn't hold up the project that's in front of the planning board right now.
Public hearing,
public hearing will be the 19th at 6:30.
I make a motion.
Motion by Jared. Second.
I'll second it.
Second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. The local, the proposed local law will be published on the website, Liz?
Yes.
So if anybody wants to read, read that. I believe that is it for our official agenda, so I will open it up for public comment. If you have anything to say, please state your name. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Erin Miller. I live at 4 Bridge Street. We're here tonight to talk about Good Cause. And we like have started this conversation, but we're here to pick it back up again.
Okay. I don't want to be rude, but you said Bridge Street, so immediately that's the village.
Yes.
Where the town, we're outside the village.
Yes. Okay. I live in the village, but okay. We have petitions with tons of signatures
gotcha.
From people in the town. And so for those who don't know, Good Cause is a law that passed last year in the state. And it was passed in New York City automatically, but towns and municipalities have to opt into it to access the tenant protections. And the Village of Catskill opted into it last year, but towns all across the region, like Ithaca, Beacon, Albany, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, Hudson, New Paltz, Nyack, and Fishkill have all opted into it as well. And the law is really amazing. It protects people that have lived here for decades and helps preserve Catskill as a place locals can afford. Prices have already increased so much in the last few years, and it's a way to help stop the exponential risings of rents. Under Good Cause, landlords can raise rents only once a year, up to 10%, which is way more than any reasonable landlord would. And we had landlords come out when we passed it in the village. We had tons of landlords come out and say that they supported this. They could not see a world in which they wanted to increase rents more than 10% a year. And it was really amazing to see, like, this is not an anti-landlord law. That's something that we want to be really clear about. It protects tenants from being evicted as a retaliation for asking for necessary repairs, but it doesn't prevent landlords from evicting tenants in general. You can evict a tenant for breaking a lease. You can evict a tenant for breaking a law. So this is not a way to, like, tenants... There's not many ways to take advantage of this law. The law protects tenants from being evicted for the sole purpose of moving in a new tenant that would pay way more. So I think that the town has seen this a lot, where people get kicked out just because the landlord knows that prices have gone up. And right now, this good cause eviction means that you can only be evicted for a good cause. The name is a little confusing, but that's the way to remember it, is landlords can only evict you for a good cause. So we want to protect locals from predatory landlords who only care about getting the most out of the highest price for an apartment that hasn't changed much from year to year. Landlords will be able to increase pricing based on repairs and renovations they made to the property. You just can't say, like, okay, well, next year it's going up $500. And we are introducing this conversation now, but if you guys, like, there were so many people that came out that had stories that were like, yeah, my landlord's, like, just randomly increased my rent year to year, and, like, I didn't know if I was going to be kicked out, which is just something that we would like to afford. So last summer, like I said, we collected over 225 signatures for the region, and we only were really trying to get village signatures, but we ended up collecting over 50 signatures for the town alone, and we have all those names. And this law has overwhelming support. It's a common sense law. Once you hear the ins and outs of the law, it's like, really, we had some people come out that actually would, like, speak out about Good Cause, and then once we explain the law, because it is confusing how it's written, once we explain the law, people who were standing up in to go against Good Cause would be like, okay, I can get down with that. Like, it's very common sense. So, yeah, we're just starting the conversation back up again. I know that it's something that was brought up last year, but...
Who determines what the Good Cause is?
So, if you are evicted, you have to take it to court.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the laws set that we would just opt into. These are already laws that have been passed in the state, and we just have to opt into it as a town.
It would be determined by your lease. And so if you have things that are being broken in the lease, that's what the parameters are. It's just saying you can't arbitrarily decide, I'm going to evict this person by increasing the rent so much that they'll have to leave. That's good. We're saying the people think this is not a good cause
right.
to the people, so that's what this precedent is.
And we found that a lot in the town of Catskill?
Yeah.
There's people coming to the hearing for the village, and they were starting to tell their stories, and they said, I had this experience where my rent was increased by like 50%, way more. And then when they told where they were living, which was like Jefferson Heights, they had to be ushered out of the room because they were like, we don't represent you. And they were so disappointed because they couldn't be represented for it. And so that's also why we're bringing it, is because it wasn't just enough for the village. People in the town also came in and wanted to speak up because they thought this would help them.
I mean, like, probably 50 or 60 people were there. It was crazy. Like, everybody came out. So, yeah, it was really inspiring to see. And, yeah, we hope you'll consider.
And please ask questions.
Oh, yeah. If you have questions, we can take them.
I think I should probably read it and see what it's all about.
Yeah, we'll have to read up into it. Elliot, did you want to say something?
Hi, I'm Ali Matos. I live on Main Street, but I'm part of CASH as well. And I just wanted to say that we have a number of people who are from Jefferson Heights, from Palenville, from Leeds, from outside of the Village of Casco that are really want to see this happen for them. A lot of seniors, which was really sad to hear some of the stories. So you know, I really wish the board would consider this. We did come to you guys before with this. We do have the bylaws. If you need to have the bylaws be sent to Liz, I can have that do that. But we really hope that you move forward with this.
Okay. So we'll look into it, and then possibly, Jared, did you want to say?
Oh, she is.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Eliza Dichter. I live in the town. I live in Piscataquis, and I actually found out from the work that these folks were doing about these ideas, and I sort of just started to pay attention, and what I noticed. So I am a homeowner. I was a renter for a long time in Palenville, and folks who came in and bought the property I was living on kept all the tenants because they actually were moving into the community. And I've noticed, like, there's a difference that's been happening. Like, houses left completely empty in my neighborhood for a really long time until now. There's a really nice Airbnb. Well, it's an Airbnb, and I don't know if they're paying taxes or what they're giving back to the community, but the folks who are using that space aren't in our community. And I just noticed a real shift. And so I don't know, from what I understand of this rule, like, there's a lot of protections for landlords who just, like, have somebody in their home or have only a couple of properties, and I know folks who are doing that, like, where I live. So it doesn't probably apply to a ton of landlords, but where it applies, it's going to make a really big difference. And I really want to live in, like, a mixed economy community where, like, people who are working and people who are shopping and people who are, you know, working at the store and had their hours cut or whatever can still live here. And, you know, my kids... really good friend, just got evicted from their place, and the other kid lives in a place like where, you know, it's not in our town, but where, like, nobody's there because all of the houses are owned by people who aren't there. So I think this is one of the things that I know these folks and the folks they've been working with, I've been hearing about, are coming up with as ways towns can say, we are a community, and we are not, like, a place to be profited from. We are a place where we live. And so, I don't know, I think this one is an easy one for us because it's happening all around. I'm not sure it's going to make a huge difference for all of us here in the town just because of the way the housing is structured. But I think it's like a first step to being like our town is about having mixed communities of all different folks who work and live and learn from each other, you know what I mean, and live here. So I'm really just grateful to all y'all who've been getting this going. And I was at that meeting and I saw lots of other folks and we all started talking and they're like, wait, this doesn't apply to the town. And lots of renters from the town who are excited to see if this can help them or even if this is just a way for the board to say, like, we got you. We understand that, like, things have been in crisis. So thank you guys for what you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
I also have another resource for the board. I have, there are two people who work for the New York Legal Aid, and they're willing to speak. They spoke with the Casco board, the village board, and they're willing to speak with you guys to explain anything that, any questions that you have that pertain to, like, language on the resolution.
Okay.
So if you need that, I'll just send that to you.
Okay. Do we want to look into this and put it on our unofficial agenda for our next meeting? Just continue.
I'd like to do some research.
Okay. Everybody good with that? Keep the conversation going. It was presented before we did the grant last year, right? It was kind of like a...
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was two in one. Yeah, and unfortunately, we didn't get that grant.
Yeah, actually, there's a new bill that's going to be going to the governor's desk that takes away the need for a vacancy study because that's just hurting a lot of our municipalities. So there's another thing that we're going to be working on. So.
Okay. Yeah. We'll keep us updated. Yeah. Speaking of grant, there's a new round of grants coming out through Resilient New York. Got an email last week. This will be for Pennsylvania Ave. Since it's through Resilient New York and they're the ones that sponsor the previous grants that we applied for, we don't have to get any letters of support. We don't have to do any engineering reports. They have all of our information. We just simply have to reapply.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
So, unfortunately, this is a long grant session. I think it goes until the end of May, Liz, do you remember? It was a long grant session, but we're definitely going to apply. Anything else from the public? Yes, sir.
So I had emailed Jared about modifying the subdivision laws.
Mm-hmm.
So the town of Durham has a simple subdivision law that I was hoping that the town board would look at.
Is that the one we adopted?
No, that's a lot.
That was a lot. That's the first thing that changed the lot line revision law last year. So the simple subdivision law basically is, if the board reviews it, it goes to the planning board, mm-hmm. and they review it, and if it meets all the requirements of a simple subdivision, where the town of Durham was like, we were just subdividing the lot into, like, I think it was two or three to theirs, and you weren't doing any kind of development on it, they considered it a simple subdivision, they approved it right then. It just basically takes the second step out of going to a public hearing. So I had emailed Jared what the town of Durham's law was. Maybe you guys can look at tweaking that.
Yeah, it would be a simplified process.
Yeah.
If they're not going to develop it, because this way you're not restricted by the lot sizes.
Well, they would still have to meet all the requirements.
Okay.
So you still have to meet all the zoning requirements, because if they ever did get developed, you don't want to have an undeveloped lot. It's either that or maybe even tweak it to where they have to prove that you can put a septic on it or something like that. I don't know, maybe if you want to have a conversation about it and take a look at it or something like that.
Definitely. So. Okay. Anything else from the public? Yes, sir. Mr. Rizzo.
Can you give the board an update on the Greene County ambulance study?
We have another meeting. We have not had a meeting at all this year. The last meeting we had was December. And there has been no decisions. We're still looking through the different models that their contractor has proposed to us. I believe there's a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday.
Are they open to the public?
No. It's a Zoom. It's a live feed, so you can watch it.
You can watch it, but you can't attend.
Correct.
That's an oxymoron, isn't it? But that's it. There's no decision yet.
No. We're not even remotely close to making a decision. And again, our stance has been, and I believe it was when you were here too, our residents and our employees are our number one priority. So if whatever model we decide on has to be the same as what we're providing now or a better level of care for the residents in the town of Catskill.
Does the decision have to be unanimous, or can a town or a village opt out?
The state is working on what that would look like, because right now if the county were to go for a county wide certificate of need, then each municipality and each organization that holds that would have to give it up.
So if the county applied for a certificate of need and it was approved, the towns would have to opt out of their ambulance service?
Right, but each individual entity needs to opt out first before the county can apply for the CON. Because as long as we have an existing CON, they're not eligible to get one for Catskill. Or Coxsackie or Greenville or wherever.
Carol.
So you just need one town to not opt in, and then this study goes away?
Possibly.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. There's still a lot of groundwork to do, and once I have enough information to present here, we'll put it on the Facebook page, we'll put it on the town's website. I think we should even hold a couple. The county's looking to hold three or four public hearings throughout the county about this, but I want to hold one here in the town of Catskill solely just for our residents.
Is there anybody left in the COVID funds to replace the generator in the ambulance building?
No, that money had been spent or allocated by December 31st of last year.
And I was hearing you allocated it, but you knew the generator was bad, but you didn't allocate any money for it?
Didn't know the generator was bad.
We didn't know the generator was bad. We never got a report that the generator was bad, that there were any mechanical issues prior to 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, whenever.
Three weeks ago, what?
Okay. We never got a report on that.
No, it's passed all its health checkups and everything. It just failed.
If we got a report on it, I can assure you that this board would have used the ARPA money to replace that.
But the generator is supposed to be reviewed every month, right?
It goes through a self-check.
Yeah.
And that's when this issue arose, is when it went through the last self-check.
Was it in December or January?
That was in February.
Yeah, February.
It was just very recent.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Board?
On ambulance, since we're there, everyone received George's 2024 annual report? of all the data you sent out to everybody. So it looks like we responded to 3,167 calls last year. It's a lot of data in the report, so anyone has any questions, feel free to ask George directly, but it's a very robust report. It goes into call turnover. We turned over 90 calls to other agencies. And it also shows you what our mutual aid given to other agencies were 112 in the rest of the county. So we're an integral part in the current layout in the county. So,
can you put that report on the website?
I have to just...
I think it's just a report, right?
Yeah, it's just a generic. There's no HIPAA.
No, it shouldn't be. I'll have George make sure, and then I'll have him forward it to Liz for the website.
Thank you.
Be a good piece of information to put out there. Another thing I have is planning and zoning clerk applications we received. And so have you guys had a chance to go through them? Maybe the committee?
I did.
Get together. I mean, we got applications from
Vermont, I read them.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's Indeed, but we got...
Florida.
We got some local ones, though, too, which is good.
Yeah. We got a decent amount. Was it about 35, 40?
Quite a few.
Yeah. So maybe the committee for that get together and start setting up interviews with Matt. Get that ball rolling. Brian, you got anything?
No, I just want to add the ambulance report showed, I think, an 8-minute response time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want the public to think that it takes 8 minutes for the ambulance to get out on the road, but that's dispatch time and...
Yep.
Emergency medical dispatch is being provided by the county dispatchers all through that time before the actual ambulance is being dispatched.
Yeah, that's one sticking point that we've been having on the countywide is they're going off of average response time. But that response time starts as soon as the phone rings at the 911 center. And you can have a 3 or 4 minute conversation because the dispatcher's taking all the information. That time is counting against our response time. So we're trying to narrow down what is our actual response time. Is it 8 minutes?
No.
Maybe for out in Palenville, but here in the village, it's probably two or four.
Yeah, 2 to 3.
Yeah. So I mean, the 90 percentile is 14 minutes, so we're well above the average.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Don, you got anything?
Not really. I just am happy to see that the senior center's staying busy when it's very, very cold, that people are still coming in. Enjoying their time there. Great turnout. There's a lot of things going on for the month of March. And hopefully warmer weather's coming our way.
The Memorial Day Parade Committee is meeting the 20th of this month. We are having a parade. Tom and Joy, I thank them for all the work that they've done, but they're kind of taking a backseat to this. They want to start enjoying retirement, and they've absolutely earned it. So the parade's going to be Memorial Day the 26th. I believe it's going to be 2 o'clock Main Street here in Catskill. It's going to follow the same route. We're working on a guest speaker. I have a student to play taps and a student to play the national anthem. We're building our float list. I believe we have 6 more new participants already, and we haven't even advertised it yet. So we'll have more information on that in the next monthly meeting. One more time. Anybody else? Liz?
You need to pass resolutions for the planning board chair.
The chair.
And then for the members of the planning and zoning board, reappointments. Zoning board. I'm so sorry. Not planning. Zoning board chair.
Yep. That was a separate
email.
So Gary, Harvey, and Lehigh want to stay in positions.
So motion to appoint Gary Harvey as zoning board chair and Lee Heim as vice chair. Motion by Brian, second by Jared. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. And we need to reappoint Lori Schmidt as planning board member for a term ending in 2031.
Motion.
Motion by Dawn.
Second
by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. One opposed. Motion carried. We need to appoint Albert Gasparini as zoning board member till 2029.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Jared. Second. Second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Now that's up. I appreciate everybody coming out tonight. Need a motion to go into executive session to discuss a personnel issue.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Jared, second by JR. All in favor? We will not be conducting business after the meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.